This is Remote But Not Restricted, a podcast from Sight and Sound Technology and the Thomas Pocklington Trust.
Hello and welcome in to episode number 25 of Remote But Not Restricted, looking at institutional supports for visually impaired students. My name is Stuart Lawler, and on this week's show, I'm catching up with Molly Hobbs and Callum Russell.
We want to hear your voice. Email us today and have your say. podcast@sightandsound.co.uk.
Indeed we do. Please get in touch with us. Send an email to podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. Martin did that from Glasgow. Hi, Martin. And he says, I've been very fortunate to have the wisdom of the guys from NatSpec, that's Neil and Phil, for many years. These guys are great. Delighted to hear Neil on the podcast, sounding fit and well, he says. There you go. Thank you very much, Martin. podcast@sightandsound.co.uk is the email address if you want to get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you because your feedback is what keeps this podcast going. Now, getting a job when you're leaving college, when you're moving on, when you're going through that transitions phase is challenging, isn't it? And look, so many of us have been there, and I've been there. I spent a summer, I spent more than a summer actually, I spent the best part of 6 months after leaving college finding, really saying, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And I remember it clearly because I had lived away from home on college campus, then I moved back home. And, for all sorts of reasons, that was challenging. I think challenging for me, challenging for my parents, I'm sure, because suddenly you're back in this what might be perceived to be restrictive environment, right? And you're trying to grapple with the next stage of your life, and in some respects with the biggest stage of your life, because you're then saying, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? And when I was back there in the late 90s, there were not, I suppose, the supports that are there now, both in the UK and here in Ireland. And our partners on this podcast, Thomas Pocklington Trust, are doing great work to support people as they transition from one part of their life to another. And we're going to talk in a second to Molly Hobbs from Thomas Pocklington Trust and Callum Russell, who's a lovely guy, by the way, who I actually want to get on a separate podcast just to talk about him. Because Callum has recently started a new job. And as you'll hear in a second, he started his current job during COVID, which is really interesting. I wonder what that must be like. And I want to get him back because I want to kind of tease that out a bit more. Because I'm sure there's some of his colleagues he's never met yet, you know, because people are obviously going into the office at different times. And you know, some people are working from home and there's all sorts of stuff. Anyway, look, Molly and Callum are waiting on Teams. Let's bring them in and get on with the show.
You're listening to Remote But Not Restricted, a podcast from Sight and Sound Technology and the Thomas Pocklington Trust.
Well, if you didn't know yet, October is Blindness Awareness Month, or Blind Awareness Month even. And there's all sorts of things going on for Blind Awareness Month. A charity who are doing lots of stuff are the Thomas Pocklington Trust. Of course, we produce this podcast in association with the Thomas Pocklington Trust. And it's really lovely actually to check back in with these guys. So I'm delighted to be joined today by Molly Hobbs from the Thomas Pocklington Trust and Callum Russell. And we'll be coming to Callum in a couple of minutes. But Molly, first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Stuart. Thank you so much for having me today.
So great to have you. Now, you are involved, I know, a lot around student supports, and specifically you look at transitions, isn't that right?
Absolutely. So our work covers students throughout their time in further and higher education, so anything post 16. And our overall aim is to help students get the most out of their time in education and to achieve their end goals. And of course, for a lot of students, the end goal is employment. Some of our work touches upon the transitions within from one stage to the next, the skills that you might want to build up, and just general guidance really on how to achieve what you're heading towards.
Okay, there are so many things there. You've kind of touched on so many areas. Just let's go through a few things. First of all, the skills and maybe some of the blindness skills or the things that people may need to pick up that they mightn't get in the mainstream, that presumably you're filling some gaps. What kind of things are you doing?
Absolutely. Well, we have very recently produced some guidance on exactly this topic as part of our Blind and Able campaign, as part of Blind Awareness Month. And that guidance will be launched on our website this week. So I do really encourage any students who are thinking ahead towards the end of their studies of what they might go on to next. It just provides lots of tips on what you can do while you're in education to give yourself the best chance when entering the job market. You mentioned skills there. That's one of the top tips I'd really like to highlight today, is that experience and skills come from everywhere. Just because you haven't had a job yet, it's important to know that this doesn't mean you don't have anything to offer employers. When considering applications, employers will typically focus on three key skills areas. These can include general skills, so things like basic literacy and numeracy, good communication, perhaps even presentation skills. Then you've got more technical skills, so training or knowledge of a specific industry or role. And finally, transferable skills, such as leadership, resilience, problem solving, time management, all those kind of things. And these are the skills that can be gained from lots of different areas of life. And often students have more than they realise. But this is really important, as often it's the transferable skills that you have that really set yourself apart as a candidate. So top tip number one for any vision impaired students thinking about employment and wanting to get themselves ready, we really encourage you to do perhaps a skills audit and think about what skills you already have that will be really desirable for employers, and what you might like to build up on while you're still in education. Think about volunteering roles that you might have held or could hold and any associated responsibilities. Think about school projects and roles that you could take on as part of that. Any other ways that you could support students or people around you, for example, tutoring younger students. All these experiences build up to demonstrate competencies that employers are looking for. Something that we recommend to students at all times, not just in COVID, is that if you find there aren't the opportunities that you're looking for available, create them. If there's an organisation that you're really interested in working in, or a role that you'd really like to experience, find someone who you can contact. Email them to introduce yourself as a student who's really keen to work with them, and ask if perhaps you could shadow them for a day. That's a great way to get a feel for the job and initiate a relationship that with the person or company that can then lead on to future opportunities such as more work experience or even internships. Another opportunity that's available to students during COVID who are finding that opportunities aren't available to them, or they'd like to use this time wisely to build up some more skills ready for when things do get back to normal. The government have worked with universities to release some online free training courses. These can be done, some of them are scheduled, some of them you can do at your own pace. And there are a really wide range of topics. I've been looking at things like graphic design courses, social media management, document writing, coding even. There's lots of different courses out there, some of them just a couple of hours. So I'd really encourage any students who are looking to find productive ways to use their time to go and check those out. Details of these can be found by going to the National Careers Service government website and clicking on the Schools Toolkit page.
And you know, it's really important, Molly, isn't it? Because people with sight loss, when it comes to that job interview and, you know, going for that role, are going to be applying right alongside everybody else.
Exactly, yes. And so it's really important to know yourself and what you can bring, but also what support is available to you. You're not on your own here. Something that we encourage students to think about is that you are going to have to be prepared to help yourself. The support network is quite different in education and in employment compared to what you will have experienced so far in education. So you've got to be prepared to take that step and be even more independent. For example, having the confidence to notify people of your vision impairment and explain what kind of support you might need. Obviously, it's up to you how much detail you go into, but for a smooth transition into employment, you really do need to be proactive and communicate what you can do and what support you might need in order to complete that role to the same standard and ability as all your sighted colleagues. There is lots of support available to do this. There's funding for things like accessible technology, travel, any other kind of support you might need. There's coaching and mentoring services available in the sector to help you overcome challenges and build the career you want, particularly by learning from people who've already gone down that career path and how they've overcome challenges that result from their vision impairment. And just remember that don't worry about getting everything right straight away or knowing everything straight away. It's going to be a learning process both for you and your employer. They might not have experience of employing someone with a vision impairment before, and even if they do, it might be totally different when it comes to you and your needs. So just be confident, take that leap, communicate your needs, and then have that ongoing conversation so that you can get settled into your new role and have the right support in place for you.
Okay, now Molly, there's no doubt that that COVID-19 has brought some very specific challenges. I'm thinking of things like volunteering. It's kind of hard maybe for people to get out and about as much as they might have been able to maybe get out 9 months ago. What other things can people do maybe in the interim?
Of course, yes. COVID is certainly become challenging in that area, but it's not for students to feel too disheartened. There are still opportunities. As with everything, organisations are having to evolve and adapt, and we are all trying to learn quickly and make sure that opportunities are still available. So some organisations have launched virtual internships or working from home opportunities. There's lots of organisations that have virtual or online offerings, and so anyone who is looking for something and is really struggling to find something at the moment that they could do in a COVID safe way, I would just really encourage you to reach out to ourselves at TPT. We've got lots of contacts and organisations throughout the sector who have positions available or ideas of other things that you could be doing while we are restricted with what activities we can take part in. So reach out to us. We can point you in our direction of something that's going to help you and make sure that you can put this time to use.
All right, Molly. And I will come back to you for the contact details before the end of the show. But let's go over to Callum Russell, because Callum has walked the walk with you guys and has come out the other side and is working. Callum, first of all, you're welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell me just a little bit, first of all, to start us off about your sight loss? Are you totally blind or have you low vision?
So I'm completely blind. I'm blind since birth and I suffer from an eye condition called Leber's congenital amaurosis, which means I have no light or colour perception.
Okay. And can you tell me then a little bit about your college experience? What was it like for you and maybe how you linked up with the Thomas Pocklington Trust?
So I had a really positive college/university experience. I studied French, Italian and Spanish at A-level and was really well supported during that time. And then I went to the University of Birmingham where I studied French, Italian and Spanish, which interestingly, for some of your listeners, involved a year abroad, which was split between France, Spain, and Italy, which is quite a challenge in terms of getting all the support in place. But I have to say, I was really, really lucky. I was working with a fantastic department who really went out of their way to make sure that my needs were met properly. And I came, so that was my university experience, and I must say I really, really had a good time there. In terms of how I got involved with Thomas Pocklington, Thomas Pocklington haven't actually supported me directly through my studies and my employment journey. I sit on a research steering group for being run by the RNIB, looking at the transition experiences of blind and vision impaired young people going through school to college to university and hopefully on into employment. And Thomas Pocklington are on the same panel as me. So that's how I got to know them.
Okay. What was that experience like for you going the transition, I suppose, from college to work, the job interview, the CV process, looking for jobs? What was that whole experience like?
Well, I think I've been really lucky because I've been tremendously well supported whilst being at college, whilst being at university. But I also had had and still have very supportive parents. And so they were able to give me a lot of guidance and advice in terms of the kind of jobs that I might go for, how I would go about getting it, et cetera, et cetera. For me, my first job, I got very quickly. There was an internship at an organization called Sight for Surrey. And I applied and was very fortunate to be successful. My current job, where I'm the Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Officer at Surrey Police, that was much harder to get. I had applied for several jobs, had got to interviews with some, hadn't made it to interview in the case of others. When I got to those interviews, I'd made mistakes and I hadn't ultimately been good enough on the day. But eventually, if you keep working and you keep constantly evaluating what you did well and what you didn't do so well at an interview, eventually the job that you're craving will come along. And I was just very lucky that happened to me.
Fantastic. And how has work been for you since COVID? Are you working from home, or how is it managing for you?
So actually, I'm doing a bit of both. I'm in the office and I'm at home. So my week changes from every week is different. So this week I'll be working from home 3 days in the week. But for example, the week before I was in the office, I think I was in the office 3 days and working from home 2 days. So it changes from week to week. I have to say COVID was a very challenging time in the sense I was furloughed from my previous job. So that, I suppose, was hard and, you know, gave me a real insight into what everybody else was going through, because there were so many people who'd been furloughed. But in some respects, being furloughed was great because it gave me the motivation to go and get another job. Yeah. and not just go and get another job, but really actually make sure that I nailed my application, nailed my interview, and I ultimately got the job I'm now in. So for me, furlough was actually a positive.
So this is really interesting then, because you were furloughed from your previous job during COVID, and you've started a new job during COVID, and clearly it's worked out really well, and you're having this kind of mix of homework and then into the office. Nice little bit of flexibility in your week.
Yeah, it's good. It's really nice. I love it.
Brilliant. What would you say, Callum, to people who might be, I guess, going into their final year in college, and who are maybe where you were, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and looking to, I suppose, go to that next stage and thinking about work and finding it all a little bit overwhelming?
Well, I think the first thing to say is, and I echo what Molly was saying, there are opportunities out there, but you've got to be good enough to take them. So the first thing I would do is ask yourself, what skills do I need to be successful in the job market? And for me, well, there are obviously quite a few that would apply to anybody, but from a vision impairment perspective, I would highlight two. The first is you've got to have good mobility skills. Mm-hmm. If you cannot get yourself to your job interview, you will not get a job. Simple. So if your mobility is not very good and you're not very confident at traveling around independently, and you maybe don't particularly, you don't do it very often, now is the golden opportunity. Get it sorted so that you can. That would be the first thing. And the second thing is IT skills are critical. You know, can you perform tasks that other people perform on a computer using the appropriate assistive technology? If you can, great. If you can't, you really have got to do something about it, because if you can't, you will not be successful in the job market, because most applications are online now. So if you don't have the IT skills to apply for the job in the first place, you're not going to get very far. So those would be my two real lessons, I think.
And it's interesting, the whole thing of IT skills comes up so much when you talk to people. And, you know, you don't have to be a guru. You don't have to be a geek and know the ins and outs, but you need to make the technology work for you, don't you?
Absolutely. And you've got to be flexible as well. You know, in my previous job, I was using, for example, a Braille Note Touch Plus made by Humanware to do the vast majority of my work. And I could do that and it worked for me. But at Surrey Police, where I work now, I have to access more complicated systems. And so the Braille Note Touch Plus wouldn't necessarily be the most suitable equipment for me. So I've had to be flexible enough to move on to a conventional laptop using JAWS. And, you know, I've managed to make that transition work for me. And it's really important that you have the required flexibility, so that, in other words, your vision impairment is not a barrier to you.
Molly, just before we finish off, people again who are maybe, coming up to that transition and would like a bit of support or like to know more, how can they find out the great work that you guys are doing at Pocklington Trust?
Absolutely. So we have our website. That is the main bank of all of our resources and guidance and links to further information. That can be accessed by going to www.pocklington-trust.org.uk. And if you have any questions at all, or you'd just like to reach out to us and we can discuss your individual circumstances, you can drop us an email at studentsupport@pocklington-trust.org.uk. And if your query is more relevant to employment specifically, and you'd like to therefore get in touch with our employment team, you can email them at employment@pocklington-trust.org.uk.
Okay, great. Loads of supports out there and plenty of help there if you just go and look for it. Molly and Callum, great to catch up with you both. Callum, all the very best. You're working at a very interesting time, starting a new job at a very interesting time. All the best of luck. And Molly, thanks a million for chatting to us today. Take care, guys.
Thank you very much.
Molly Hobbs from Thomas Pocklington Trust and Callum Russell there. Thoroughly enjoyed catching up with those guys. And it's really great, isn't it, to know the services are out there, to know that there's so much available, and to know that, I suppose, whatever you're going to do, there are so many people who've done it before, and there are so many people who are willing to help. And you know something, I'm going to just say it here. If I can do anything to help, if God, in my limited experience, it's been a while since I've been looking for work, but podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. And of course, remember, loads of stuff on the Pocklington Trust website. Right, that's just about all from this week. We're back next week with another student voice. I'm really looking forward to that. Until then, stay safe and stay well. From Stuart Lawler, on behalf of everybody at Sight and Sound, thank you for listening and goodbye.